Very good.
Okay. We'll start on PayBase. With Alex at the top there, we got to the 2.0 yesterday. So we have a start off. We have a story that was similar to yesterday's story. How Gabra, the Nachalei Yevamos, you have this gentleman who has his brother's wife that came to him to be a Miyavim, but Matamachsi on the city of Matamachsi, Bahu al Mitzalev Gita Mine. So again, the brothers, the younger brothers, want to interject or stop the Yibum process because they are going to be Machsid. They're going to lose out if he does Yibum, because he'll take all the brothers' possessions if he does Yibum, whereas if he does Chalitza, the possessions will be split between the brothers. So they want to cancel him out from doing Yibum. Amalei Madadech. He said to them, what's the issue here? Yimishim Nichsai, Ana B'Nichsai, Palignalach. I will divide up the nechassim. If that's the issue here, if it's a money issue, I'll divide the money with you guys. Don't worry about it. That we're afraid that you're going to do to us what the trickster in Pupadita did. Now, the trickster in Pupadita is the story from yesterday, where what? He was also, same situation, he sold them all, I'll split everything with you. In the end, he did not end up splitting the money with them. Question is, why didn't he split the money? The way the Gemara flows yesterday, right, the Gemara say, it seems to be that Rav Yosef was the one who stopped him. Because Rav Yosef said yesterday that what a Yavam who transacts in his brother's possessions, the transactions are invalid. So it seems to be yesterday that the invalidation was because of Rav Yosef's psak, not because he was a thief or a cheater. So you could say that he was called a Ramah, that he was called a cheater or a thief, for one of two reasons.
Right? He offered to do it before he verified whether he was allowed to.
Right, or from the other perspective, from the brother's perspective, they didn't know that it was Ipsak. They thought he might have known, and then he played game. You know, he did it with, they might have thought, with the foreknowledge that there was a problem with, then he just set them up. Or the other possibility, which Tosa suggests over here, is that that he actually backed out. And then Rav Yosef's statement afterwards in the Gemara, the Gemara brings it here because it's related to it, but not because that's the reason that he reversed his position. This guy himself, he reversed the position by himself, and then the Gemara, when it was set up, put Rav Yosef's statement there because it was relevant to his case, not because that was the psak in that case. Right? But either way, he reversed his position, and so now they're afraid, what? That this guy is offering them the same option, and then he's going to back out. So what does he say? He's Amalei. All right, I have a better solution. I'll divide it up with you from now. In that we won't wait till later. The other guy offered to wait till later to divide it. We'll divide it right now on the spot. So Amar Baravashi, Avagav Dechiat Rav Dimi, Amar Rav Yochanan. Even though when Rav Dimi came to the name of Rav Yochanan, Omer Lechaveiro Lech Mishoch Parazu, that go and make a kinyan mishicha on this para, the lotiak yunalach el akash loshim yom. But it will not be what? You will not, the kinyan will not take effect for 30 days. Lakar yam el yom kana, then it works after 30 days. Vafil omed ba'agam, even though at the time that the 30 days comes, it's standing in the middle of a swamp. It's not in the individual's property who's trying to do mishicha. So that's one important thing. Right. So that's why, all right, you know what, we'll discuss at the end. Ha! So the Gemara says over there, Hatam Biyado, over there, he has the ability to affect the kinyan when he's making the kinyan. I mean, he has possession of the property, the para, and he's telling him, make a kinyan on this para, but it'll only be effective, you know, in 30 days from now. But what's the point? The point is, right now, can he make a kinyan? If he wanted to, without any conditions, could he give him the para and he could make a kinyan? If the answer is yes. He has enough, right? We always want to know, in terms of possession, control. Control is the right determination, or helps us determine who really has possession and who can transact in the item. So does he have control here? The answer is yes, because he could be machne it to you today, right? The fact that he chooses to do it later, right, that's just a nuance in the kinyan. That's not an issue of control. Hachalabia, though. Here the problem, or the deficit, is not what that he could do it today, he's just going to do it later. The deficit is that he just doesn't have control today. He doesn't have the rights today to transact in this property. So that deficit, right, makes it maybe impossible for him to create a kinyan today on something that he doesn't own that'll be in the future.
So it's like, if it wasn't his cab, he was going to buy it. Right. He says to the guy, okay, you know, I'm going to buy this cattle. You make a mashiach on it now, because 30 days, when I already own it, then I'm going to
let you. That would be the equivalent of our case, right? Exactly.
Maybe, though, at the time that they're making this deal, he hasn't decided what he's going to do even with Kalitza. And as a result, all the boys in the lineage, all the brothers in the lineage, potentially have a right to this property. And maybe that will be the Kenyan.
Right now.
It doesn't even necessarily have to be a decide. He could have even decided that he's going to do one or the other. He could have decided that he's going to do Yibum. If one of the other brother jumps the gun, if another brother jumps the gun and does it, it's still his, right? It's even if he's the oldest and he has the choice to do it. But if another brother does it, then
so that strengthens the point.
Yeah, so it's clearly not completely in his control.
But the problem is that the property doesn't belong to him for a very long time. No matter what happens here, the property, even after marriage, right, the property is not really his because you're not allowed to transact in the other's property. The only time this property has become relevant is once the ksuba is paid out. Right.
Or she
predeceases him, and then we're still there. Either she predeceases him, or right, or that the ksuba is paid out. Then the other property leans, and the other property gets freed up from this restriction against transacting in the property. So it's not even relevant. He's not going to own it for a while. He's not going to own it, but he's giving them a kinyan in it today for something in the future that he will own. Right? So he's basically trying to give them a pre. Now, he could give them a kinyan in the peiros. He does have rights to the peiros once he's married to them, right? Once he's married, it's not now. None of the brothers have this kinyan. But kinyan peiros happens once he's married, then he has a right to take peiros out of the land, and that he might be trying to be machna today, which he will have after the marriage.
Right, but again, you still have the situation that he does not own it yet, the peiros.
Right, no, the fact that...
And it would still be comparable to...
Yes, the problem is control issue, and that he does lack control right now. Okay, that's the biggest issue. I will point it out. The question we have is that earlier on in the Gemara, we had this case. Well, earlier in the Gemara was trying to find out in our Mishnah, our Mishnah is comparable to what case? The Gemara was going through, and one of the cases there was the Gemara says that when I buy this piece of land, I will be machne to you. That was one of the cases in our Gemara earlier about Kendaf of Gom Subos. So it was one of the cases that the Gemara brought down. It's that the Gemara thought that you could actually affect such a transaction where it's, like you were saying, that if I am going to buy a cow in 30 days from now here come Nick Mashiach, and it will work. Same thing like a land. I'm going to buy this piece of land. When I do buy this piece of land, you should be able to take control over it. So how come the Gemara over here rejects such a transaction? Yet the Gemara earlier on was not dissuaded from such a transaction. So the Rishonim point out that that might only be according to the opinion that what? That you're allowed to be machnet over shalom b'liolam. I'd be only according to those opinions.
Right.
Whether you can give a kinyan to something that does not exist yet. You know, that whole Gemara over there may only be according to the one who says that you can be machne dovah shalo baliolam, that you can give over a kinyan to something that does not exist now but will exist in the future. Our Gemara over here does not hold like that, or that's not the mainstream opinion that you can be machne dovah shalo baliolam, and therefore over here the Gemara rejects that type of assumption that you can be machne something that you don't own as of yet. Okay?
So your lack of ownership would make it dovah shalo baliolam.
By definition, you don't own it yet, so it'll be in the... So you do have that. The Tosfos talks about that in Nola, actually, in Beitzon, in Shabbos.
Right, Nola, right.
So Nola, he asks about why is something considered Nola versus other things are not. Tosfos really differentiates and says there are two types of Nola for Moksa. There's a Nola where it doesn't exist at all in the world, and there's a Nola where you can have Dasa. I mean, it does exist in some way or form, but it's just not here yet. There he's talking about rain, actually rain and rain clouds, right? Whether that's how Nola is that, meaning that maybe there's a difference between Nola or Nola where you know there's something in existence, just it's not. It wouldn't be something you had in mind because it's just not around, but it will come around. But both of those would be considered in this case either a nolad or forms a nolad or forms a dover shemak the dover shalom b'liolam. He says, okay. So now the second issue is what? So where it says, v'hatiki av rabin am rav yochanan lo kani. And in that case, it does not work. When you have a parah and you exchange the parah and they do mashiach on it, it does not work. Lokasha, Hadam Alei Kani Me'aksha. Hadam Alei Kani Me'aksha. So this is the second issue. How did he word the transaction? Is the transaction that, what? You take possession of it today, right? But it will only be effective in 30 days. Make the kinyan today, but only be effective in 30 days. Or, what? Or did he just say, make the kinyan in 30 days? What's the difference? So the difference is that you have, within a kinyan, you have two different aspects of the kinyan. You have a maisak kinyan, which is the actual, you know, transaction that you're making, either a kinyan, you're buying something, you're doing, whether it's a kinyan khalifin, a kinyan mishicha, hagbah, they're all different forms of kinyan, but that's the interaction, the actual transaction that transpires between the two people. Then there's the chalos hakinyan, is when does the kinyan become effective, or how does it become effective? Right, so the difference is going to be, what if I say, I'm making a maisa kinyan today, I'm actually taking an action today, I have an action of a kinyan today. Now, when I have the action of the kinyan take place, right, I'm not saying that it's effective right this second, because I wanted to have it effect in 30 days, right? And I'm also, what? I don't necessarily own it, and I'm trying to transact with something I don't own. So how are those going to impact with the kinyan? So the problem is, if the kinyan is effective, we did the maisa kinyan today, and then 30 days from now, or a year from now, when you own it, or something like that, and you're trying to have the transaction become effective, right, then the maisa kinyan is gone. It doesn't exist anymore. It happened before, and now you're trying to affect the transaction without a kinyan. So the only way it's going to work is what? If the chalos shema kinyan goes back to the original maisa kinyan, goes back to the time that you made the kinyan. And that's why it's important, what? Both that you have ability to control or ownership at the time of the kinyan, and number two is that you say me'aksha. Me'aksha means what? That when we want it to take effect, it'll be effective from the maisa kinyan. So that's an important little nuance, but what? Because it's still relying on this kinyan. Because you can't...
What if something happens to the object in between? You know, so say 30 days, me'aksha, and the cat dies.
Right, so that's...
After 30 days, it's okay. Now it's your account, you've got to pay for it.
Well, it depends what the conditions were in the contract, right? You might have... It might be that he could affect the 30 days. There are takanos to Rabbana. Now that can be devastated by Mitzia. Other places, there's takanos to Rabbana to protect buyers in these types of cases, right?
There's a classic question on that, like, would it be that because with the Raisa, it would belong to the
buyer, right?
It would belong to the buyer, so let's say, like, the warehouse burns, so the buyer's burning, I guess, what if he used it to make a condition?
Right, so that's the Machlok, is the Rish Lok, is Rabbi Yochanan, but Matzia, that's what you're referring to, whether Malus or Konot or not.
Yeah, I'm saying, because they have a classic question, like, where the condition would be totally the Raisa, and then they run around, you know,
I'm up here, right, I'm up here,
you know,
right? That's Machlok, is Rabbi Yochanan, Rish Lok, and Bob Matzia. About most konos, and if you believe most are konos, then right or not konos, then what does the chazal do to undo it in order to protect the buyer if it's still in possession of the seller? Those are nuances. But what we're trying to do is just focus on the kinyan now, meaning that the difference is going to be when you effectuate the kinyan, what are you relying on? Are you relying on you're relying on this original maisa kinyan to do it? So if you create a structure where the chalashim kinyan will go on to the maisa kinyan, then it works. The problem is when you're trying to effectuate a kinyan, when there's no kinyan in existence. So if you say me'aksha, right, and in the future, that means when you make the kinyan today, this is going to be the effective kinyan, and all you're waiting for are some conditions to allow this kinyan to become effective. Right? Whereas, if you don't say me'aksha, what you're really saying is what? In 30 days, there'll be a kinyan. But then you're missing the maisa kinyan. The maisa kinyan doesn't exist in 30 days. So how do you affect the transaction without a kinyan? That can't happen. So that's the two things here. One, are we looking for control? Because what? Then you can affect the maisa kinyan today where it was possible for you to sell it, right? But then there's some other item that, or condition that's lacking that we wait for in order to effectuate, to give the chalashim kinyan. But, right, if you lack control, then what? Then you could, this maisa kinyan could never have been the effective kinyan, because you don't have the ability to affect the kinyan transaction today, because when you do make it effective, when you do have possession and control, right, then that other kinyan wasn't relevant, because you made a kinyan when it wasn't a maisa kinyan. Right, so that's it. So we're looking for control, and we're also looking for me'aksha. Those two items, right, that give you both ample control and the ability to use this original maisa kinyan in order to have the transaction be effective. So the deficit in our case over here is what? Number one, the deficit is that he doesn't own control. He doesn't own it. Right? And the second possible depth, which the Gemara here is really not addressing, this, they're just answering a question between two Lashonos and Rabbi Yochanan. One where he says it works a kinyan like this with the parah, and one where he says it doesn't. They say that depends if he says me'akshav or not. But that also could have been a deficit in the case in Machta Machsia, but the deficit is that he didn't say me'akshav. We don't know. I mean, the Gemara doesn't address it, but you could have had another deficit where they didn't say me'akshav. Sabah minay, what?
I'm sorry. The rose is lashon again.
It doesn't give his lashon. He says, "Hold mahashto." We'll divide it up now. It doesn't say how he affected the kinyan. I'm saying it's not.
You say you can't take the mahashto as being. Mahashto is mahashto.
Yeah, but he's saying.
He's saying.
We'll divide it beforehand so that I can't teach you later. Not that he's not saying that's his lashon. Right. That's his ma'aseh kinyan. Could be, but I'm saying that I don't think the Gemara really addresses it. The Gemara, when it answers up mahashav and lo mahashav, is talking about Rabbi Yochanan, who has two statements. One there it says, "Kani," that it works. One says it doesn't. Lo kani. By my name Ulo. So now they ask Ulo. Yabam va'akar kachilek mahu. If he performed the yibum and then divided the property, what's the halacha? He says lo asav lo kul, because that's like Rav Yosef. What? That you cannot transact in the woman's property even after he's married. Then the Gemara says, ah, what about chilek va'akar kachiyabam? What happens if they divide the property and then what? The yabim. Right. Okay. So mahu lo asav lo kul. Nothing. So maskala Rav Sheisha, so the look on your face, Rav Sheisha has asked your question. When he performed Yibum and then tried to divide it where you thought he had more ownership, what's the question if he's trying to divide it before he's even Miyabim? Or there's no reason to even think that. Square answers up, Shnei Maisim Haibu. That one didn't hear the other. There was just two Maisim Shahaya. They both approached Ula. Right? Exactly. There were two Maisim Shahaya, and they each independently approached Ula. And he gave an answer. Here the Gemara's been started them together, but not that one was muda to the other. Right? Kiyat the Rav number be Shlakish ben Yagum Mavachol Kachilek ben Chilek Vachakach Yabam Blasav Lo Klum VeHilkos Alasav Lo Klum. So whether he did it prior to Yibam or after Yibam, it's an ineffective transaction, and then it's like we hold like Rav Yosef. The Rav Yosef says that the Chachamim Rabki is right to transact in these properties after his Miyabim, because the Ksuba is Mishabed. There is all the property is Mishubad to the Ksuba, but in a way that the Chachamim made it that he's unable to transact them, as opposed to a normal marriage where the Ksuba has a chayus or has a lien on all his property, he's still allowed to transact the property. Why? Because there it says, "Kedekanya Pnuya," that anything I buy or anything I have right now or anything I buy in the future will be Meshubad to this Ksuba. Therefore, she's protected because if he sells and buys other property, the new property will come into the lien. And number two, she can go and pull out of the Lekuchot. In the case of the Yabam, that's not true. He never wrote her Ksuba, right? And she went on the property only comes from the original Ksuba, from the Ksuba Bala Rishon. Therefore, when he pays, if he sells the property to buy new property, the new property would not be mortgaged to the Ksuba. It would only be the old property. We said yesterday, all right, so what? She still can go get that old property, but that's what we said, that a woman would prefer not have to chase after the buyers in Beis Din to try to get this property back. She'd rather have everything laid out in front of her. So as I was pointing out, maybe the possibility that the property is worth more. Because if the buyers know that there's a deep protection in the property, meaning that her property always will maintain a larger value because their mortgage is over a larger breadth of property, and the property will hold a lot larger value. But if he keeps selling down the property, and then the limited property that's left is, right, then Shmeshuba to Ksuba, that property is going to be significantly devalued because there will be a few people who want to buy without that cushion in there. All right, so that's the conclusion of the Gemara here. V'chamim omrim, so back to the Mishnah. Peiris ha'mechobarim l'karka shalo. That, right, remember we talked about different scenarios where she brings property into the marriage, and then what do we do with that property? So most of the time we said basic distinction is if she brings in karka, he's entitled to the peiros. If she brings in peiros, meaning the talcolin, anything that's not karka, not real property, then what? Then he buys property with that amount, and then he gets the peiros, and she is shomer the karen. So now we said when the peiros were attached to the ground, what? Chum said that it belonged to him, because they came in with the land, it belongs to the land, he gets it. Am I? What? All the property, right, is Akrayin is Meshubad to the Ksuba. So the guy says, I'm Rishakish Tani Shalom. All right, don't worry, don't worry about that. We only think that it's really hers, it's not his. That's if you look in Rashi. Right, that all her possessions are meshuba to karka, right? Or meshuba, all his real property is what meshuba to the ksuba. So you look at Rashi, I'm a chubar la karka to karka. Hey, that's a text of ground is like ground. This is not like a text of by nixim aluk. Awesome, peiros akinali rabbanan. Over there, what is entitled to the peiros? Midir Abonan, that was exchanged. She brings in the nixim aluk, so he takes care of them in exchange for that. She gets the what? She gets the peiros and the maluk. Hey,
he gets
the peiros and she keeps the keren. Echadika keren kayam. Bahani nami peirininu. The gamre birshute. These are peiros, but they were finished in his possession. Avalchacha karno peira didehu. Over here, the keren and the peiros belong to him. Vishibuduhu these balayu. But what she has here is a shibut, meaning that when he's miyabing the woman, technically he inherits his brother. So he inherits, it's not her property. He inherits the property. And he inherits everything that's there. What does she have? She just has a lien on all these properties. So when it comes to a lien, then we're talking about something different. Right? What are we talking about? Right? When something happened while her husband was still alive, meaning that when the fruits were on the tree, when her husband passed away, then she's not going to forfeit her lien on that property. Because what? He doesn't have any entitlement to payros versus Karen. His entitlement to everything, but her lien is on everything. Therefore, Igmar says that don't say over here that Paris and Mechubarim and the Karka are like the case where it's a normal marriage, and therefore what? When she brings them in, he gets to keep the payros and the Karen stays for her. Rather, over here, everything belongs to him, but everything has a lien on it. And therefore what? The payros don't belong to him, but rather they belong to her. Her in the sense that what? They're Meshubah to her Ksuba. If they're Meshubah to her Ksuba, right, then he has to buy land with them in order to preserve them with a lien on them. Okay. Alright, and Tani Shalov, and Rashi, just the next Rashi, might as well do that. But Lopliga Rabbanalei, a little bit solution. Because often, they only argue with him in our Mishnah on things that are detached. The Meir, the Lomashad, and Tatalik Subasa, which is a basic machlokas of whether Metalkalin, right, Rabbi Meir believes Metalkalin are mortgaged to the Suba, and whereas the Rabbanon, right, don't believe that. So therefore, their argument's going to be out solution, peros that were separated that he brought into the marriage, not about attached peros that he brings into the marriage, because there everyone will agree that they're meshubah to the ksuba rishona. All right, katsa hariki ishto. When he marries the yavam, she becomes his wife fully. So lamayochasa. What do you mean? What's of course she becomes his wife fully. What's the question here? I'm Rabbi Yosef Rukinin Lomar Shemigara Shabiget Umachzira. What there is that he can marry her once he is married to her after the yavam means that he divorces her with a get and then he can take her back as a woman. So Gemara says Megara Shabiget Pshita. Of course he has to give a get. How else? If you have a woman and you're married to her, how else are you going to get divorced from her? So Gemara says, that he not marries her, but he performs Yibam with her. And B'yabma, we know from the Gemara in the Yibamos, they darsh some lots of things for B'yabma. But that's the Gemara says, Amar Achmanav Adan Yibum Marishon Alea. Right, so maybe when it says B'yabma, that's a permanent state of being for her. Not that what he's miyabim her and then she becomes like a full wife then, but rather he's miyabim her and she remains a yavemet, right? Or a yavama, a yavama.
Granted, like the yavama would mean, and he makes her his yavama.
Right, yavama. Right, he makes her into his yavama. And therefore what? Not only is she his wife, she's also still his yavama. And then what would that require? That will require lotis kalav get, ela b'chalitza. He will need not only a get, he will also need chalitza. Meaning that maybe a get is not sufficient over here to divorce the wife. He might also need a chalitza. And that's what the Gemara Kamash Malon, to know that Hariyu kol ishto. She's like a regular wife to him, that a get is sufficient. And the point of Yibom has now, right, desisted, or it's now, not relevant to us anymore. So Machzira Pshita, oh, then he can take her back as a wife. That's also Pshita. So Mar says, no, Mao the Tema Mitzvah the Rama Rachman Ole Abdul. No, the reason that he could take her, I mean, technically she's an erba to him. She was his brother's wife, and he's not allowed to marry his brother's wife, but the Torah gave him a special mitzvah. And that special mitzvah what allowed him to overcome the issue of erba. But the Hashtag now that he divorces her, Tikmalei Be'Yisrei Shetzach. right? That he, she will now become what? An Eishes Achtahim, go back to her status of Erva, and now he doesn't have the mitzvah of Yibum anymore. The mitzvah of Yibum, right, is gone. It was when he first married her, right? That was when he was performing it. Now he's not performing the Yisrael Yibum. Maybe there's Erva here. Kamash Malon, right? What's the Kamash Malon? That, what? That she became like a regular wife to him, and the erva's gone.
So he can just
take her back, remarry her. Mean that we don't. The issue of erva has now been nisada, right?
When she was rehabbing her, she now towards him, she no longer has that as the eishes
achtahim. Right. She loses that status of the erva, and therefore he can remarry her. Samar says, "Im hafanami." Why not? Why not say that that's the way it works? Why are you saying it doesn't work that way? Samar says, "I'm a krah vilakha lo li isha." Right, that it says by a yavam that she, he will take her to as an isha. Lacha is a term that's used by a wife, a regular wife. Right, so that's it. Came into lacha nasek si ishto. That once he takes his likuchin here, once he performs the kedusha of the yavam with her, then what? She becomes with him like a regular wife. When she's a regular wife, then erva is falling away. And when we're talking about issues of both get and being maxir, she's like any normal wife towards him. All right, now next. Initial, right? We said this in the mission that her rights are what that she has. Her ksuba has a lien on all property belonging to her original husband. So the Gemara says, "My taima." Right? So the Gemara says, "Why should it be that way?" So the Gemara says, "Isha ifnu lo min hashamayim." Right? That he. Meaning that he was given a wife from the Torah. I mean, the Torah prescribed this wife for him. It's not like he went out and chose this wife and then wrote her a ksuba, right? It's just that she's a yavam, right? I mean, the Torah says this is now your new beautiful wife that you've just taken on. And therefore what? There's no issue, there's no ksuba, there's no other normal trappings of a regular marriage don't exist here. So each of them in his mind, the Islam may be shown, is the misheni. Right, so therefore, what if she would not get her ksuba from the first guy, then she would have it from the second guy. They won't be easy for him to remove her. I mean that the whole point of ksuba. What was the whole point of ksuba?
To having
the guy be a quickly get rid of his wife whenever he was upset that he went to divorce her. So maybe this is a disincentive, right, for the
you burn the suit.
Right. Exactly. So it's a disincentive for the guys to divorce the women on a willy-nilly or when they got hot-headed and they would divorce the women. So there was some sort of punitive repercussions that were paying out the ksuba. So you'd have to think twice about it, right? You wouldn't think twice about divorcing his wife. He thinks a lot more about losing money. So there we set it up. So now this woman, she's coming into him as his wife, right? Now... What is the, there's no shtar nisuin, there's no ksuba, there's nothing here. So how do we protect her? We protect her by what? Putting on the lien or the ksuba on the shibud on the possession of the first, of the brother, of the first husband. Right? But then, if that protection is lacking, meaning that if there is no ksuba from the first one, then we will give her that protection by saying what? That she gets a lien on the second or the new husband's property.
That means it has to mean that if she doesn't get it, then the husband will get that money. It means why has it helped you now? What the other kind of thing that's here?
Yeah, it is. That's he owns that property. Not only does he get the property,
he inherits it.
For example, it's money that he gets. He could, I guess, use for.
He can't use it. That was what we just let Rabbi Yosef. That was yesterday, Rabbi Yosef.
Paris or whatever. He gets
Paris currently, and once either she dies or her ksuba is paid out, then the lien will fall from the rest of the property. He will own all the property there. It is his property, and so there is value here for him.
But it's more restricted than his regular property in that he cannot transact with it.
Right, but that's because of the other issue, which is because exactly the same problem, which is since he didn't write her ksuba, that her lien is only on this property and not a future property that he acquires, as opposed to a regular ksuba, where future property also goes into the lien, and therefore there's always...
Can you just sort of swap it and say, I'm going to have a lien on everything? make a kebab.
Yeah, we said that was Rabbi Abba's, was it Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Abba's suggestion that he should divorce her and
marry her. I'm saying there's a way you could do it.
No, the Gemara tried that by Yichuda. Why don't you try to be Miyakid her stuff for Tzuba? It didn't work, now. So the Gemara's only suggestion was that if you divorce her,
she
becomes
like a...
Right, because it's her disadvantage. This is her advantage, and then anything that he does will disadvantage her. Mm-hmm. Right, so that's the whole point of the Gemara, that she's not going to be willing, or Eitz Tova, we're not going to allow him to disadvantage her in this situation.
Even if she agrees, she's not really...
Right, unless he's willing to be as a governor.
Right. So he says, all right, so now the Gemara says, Lomar Yorma La Harek Subatek Al Shulchan, right? Don't say that here's your Suba on the Shulchan, and what? Don't bother me anymore, I'm free of all beans are free. My B'chein. What does it mean, B'chein? Because the Mishnah gave two examples. It said by a Yavama, don't do it. Then it says, even by his regular wife, don't do that. What do you mean? Of course, if he can't do it by his Yavama, why can't he do it? So Mar says, Ma'al detayim ha'atzum t'lo katov lak t'knai p'nina. By Yavama, he never wrote her anything I buy, anything I own, or anything I buy in the future will be mortgaged to this Suba. So therefore, by the Yavama, we say he can't transact, and he can't put her Suba out on the table and say, take it. This is what's for you, and then everything's freely. Have a hafa the cut of luck nagmina eva sampadata. So then she's okay. She's fine with it because she knows that in the future anything will be mishuba to her ksuba. And since it'll be mishuba to her ksuba, she's not so worried about losing out here.
But that does that work? I mean, if it works, then what he puts on the table, that's it takes away all the future.
Okay, so excellent question. All right, so look at Rashi. It's my folks to show him here. We'll look at it quickly. Here, Rashi says ziknai kvar tanina. I need to look now. Hilkach, Ika Eva, the Losamcha Data Shaloyogdu Hamos. Right, because what? Even though, according to Rashi, it seems like what? It doesn't, according to Rashi, it doesn't work, really. Right, but there's a problem, what? That she's not summing her das on this problem, and therefore what? And therefore, it's as if she doesn't have a ksuba now, it's not miyakas. If you look at Tosus, learns Rashi here. So you look, hatam, hotel, look that. Mitoch, perish, a country, smashma, debisho, kevish, a kotel, by miyogdu, chayv, lishalim. That if they get lost, I have to pay for it. Bahamina diokal the yakate. And we think right now what? That he can be miyakate. He can separate out the money and do that. Mashma the few haki ino yokal yakate. Came out to swear at the lisla. Since she thinks she doesn't have a ksuba now, will sampadaka apical the isla. Because in truth, what if the conclusion of the Gemara is what? That the shibut stays on all the property. But he can't do this. Why? Because when he does that, she's gonna think that's the only thing that works. She's not aware that his lien is on everything. She's going to think this is her lien, and she doesn't rely on that lien. Her failure to rely on this little section that he is miyake for her is that creates a failure in the ksuba, and a failure in the ksuba means he's living without a ksuba, and therefore what? Listen to this. Have your bila to bila to nus. Right? That's what it seems to be the way Rashi's learning. That's what Rashi's learning here. The failure in this by a woman, right? The whole point is that he's miyake her money and says, here, take this. This is your little gift for your ksuba. Take this. So you all ask that question. And I ask the question, well, but that doesn't work because she has a lien on all his properties. The answer is you're right. She does have a lien on all his properties. So what's the failure here? The failure is that what? She doesn't really understand that. She's going to think this really is her ksuba. And when she thinks this really is her ksuba, she's not going to be selling it. She thinks this money's going to get lost somehow. It's going to end up in the wrong place. And when it ends up in the wrong place, right, she thinks I don't really have a ksuba. When she doesn't think it's a ksuba, it makes into bila znus.
So he does say what happens, how do we fix it? I mean, let's say he does say it, and it doesn't count.
It doesn't work, but the problem is...
We know it doesn't work, she's so messed up.
You have to correct it somehow so that she thinks she does have a ksuba, right? I mean, you have to just fix the problem that she's not being sumach on it. Right, that's the big issue here, that she's being sampadata. So even though it's not true, it's an amazing thing. So according to Rashi,
so
even
sure,
though it's not true...
Sure, because since she has the other shibu, she's not losing anything, but so...
That's Tosa's point. Tosa's point is the way Rashi's learning is that even though it's not really true, right, the fact that she relies on it is enough to cause a problem. That's what he says, Rashi. Tosa's rejected. You look, the kash of the Rashi book. Right?
It seems like there's a subtle nuance over here. In other words, if he says, you know, so that's, you know, that's your silver, that money is on the table over there. So it's not that everything, the thing that she should be relying on but is not relying on, apparently, what we say, is not all the rest of his property that's still mishuba. It's the in the future part. In other words, if he says that, what would be the effect? I think the effect of it would be that from his current property, only that money that's on the table is mishuba to the karka. But she should know that, okay, that's for the present stuff, but the ksuba also included, you know, la kinuye, whatever will require in the future, and that's not negated by his saying that. Because he can only negate what he has now.
Right.
Right? So it's not...
I don't know if
that's just Rabbi.
I don't think that's right, because when he's miyaket the money for her, he's basically saying, this is your ksuba, your
ksuba. The footnote says, she's not resentful of the designation, for even if he subsequently sells all the property on the time of the marriage and the designated money is lost, she would still be able to collect from her property that he purchased afterwards.
And if he didn't have any cash, why should she agree to that? Because if he had nothing else in the future...
No, she wouldn't agree to that. I'm saying about it, but even the effect of what he's saying... Even if it was effective, it wouldn't be effective on the stuff that he purchased in the future, which is also covered by the silver.
Right.
But since she doesn't realize that, it's not for that done.
And if she did realize that, why would it? So it sounds like if she did realize that.
This is also earlier on. I think the design also deals with the same issue where what happens when a woman. Is, and I think this is Tosfos that she does so, which is, he mentions it earlier, that this idea of samkhadato, so this idea that you can have a woman could be somech on something, either mistakenly or doesn't understand something, and she's, but because she relies on it, therefore what? Therefore, it's have a bilata bilatinus. Even though she agrees, say for instance, if she agrees to, this is the case before, she agrees to get married without a ksuba, that's the Gemara over there. She gets married, she goes, I'm okay, my ksuba to you. And yet, right over there, it says, if you last, you last, nus. Still doesn't work. So Tosfos says, problem, what do you mean? Why can't it work? If she's willing to give it up, if she's so much that, if she's okay with it, because why? The Chamim said that you can't be without a ksuba.
Isn't it a close to
didn't you say? Yeah, it's a close to the Rebbe Meir there and how it works. But according to Rebbe Meir, who says, if you last, you last, nus, right, what happened? The Chamim guaranteed her ksuba. According to everybody, the Chamim said even when she's milk with the ksuba, she's still entitled to a ksuba. The Tosfos asked the question over there. So why should it be bilata bilatinus? So even when she's milk, even when she says what? That I'm not going to have a ksuba, the Chamim said I'm going to give you a ksuba anyway. But yet we call it bilatinus. So there Tosfos made the same point, that some chadato, that even though in the end she may get a ksuba out of the Chamim, lo sam chadato, she doesn't really rely on that. She doesn't feel comfortable with that ksuba. And her lack of comfort with that ksuba, right, is...
Well, she doesn't know
that. Right, well, that's like the woman has to always know where the ksuba is.
She is supposed to, right?
Right, she's supposed to always know that. I mean, if she doesn't know where the ksuba is, then it's like she...
Right, she's relying on the ksuba. We're going to see that at the end of the Gemara today about ksuba in general. But that's... my only point here is that Tosfos is making a point here. Yeah, the same concept. I think Tosfos, she does. He's making it in Rashi here, but I think it's Tosfos has made this point before, that the woman's... das is very important to her. If she's willing to rely on this, or not willing to rely on this, will impact even whether it's true or not true. But even though she effectively will end up with a ksuba, even
if she thinks that she does not have a ksuba,
right.
So even though based on the fulfillment, you know, declaring that she always has a ksuba, right? She's entitled, it doesn't matter whether it's ksuba, but the fact that she thinks that she doesn't makes it realism.
But here it's even more, I think even stronger than that, Tosfos says, that even though, what, there's a future, that she still has her liens, or over there, Tosfos says that she gets the ksuba, and she might know that she's getting ksuba from the Rabbanan, but sam chadato. She just doesn't rely on that. She's just not willing to, she doesn't feel comfortable with that. And that lack of comfort already makes it into bilatza bilaznus, which is an amazing thing. So here, one, you would have said, she just doesn't know about it, then she's no sam chadato. Tosfos even suggests over there that even if she knows about it, she's no sam chadato. She doesn't comfortable with it, she doesn't really rely on it. By not relying on it, that makes it bilatza bilaznus. So same thing here. That's why he challenges. He says, according to Rashi, that's the way this Gemara is going to read. He brings and so the Rashba has two questions for that, and then at the end of that Tosfos brings Rabbi Yitzchak's shot, which is not so simple. He says, if you look towards the end of that Tosfos, it says, Rabbi Inu Yitzchak, hey, Rishasam, who's a Lokotabla, or Komar, over there by what? By Yobam, Ilotana, Elarisha, if I'd only written it by Yobam, that he can't designate the property by Yobam, Avamina, Taimadur, Kabina, Lameim, Ala Kamad, Lo Yichad, Lala Yobama. What's the whole reason he's being miyaked money by Yabam is to allow him to transact in the other properties. So we said that doesn't work because what? We don't allow him to this game to low cost of love to die because he didn't write that. About the Ishto, by his wife. We don't need to protect her in that way. Why? Because he wrote Kanyan and Kinyan Yelach. And therefore, my time, therefore, we might allow him to be Miyachet for her Ksuba. Right? The reason we want to prevent him.
She's a Havamina.
Yeah, it's a Havamina. No, the conclusion of the Gemara is no, that doesn't work in either case. The Gemara wants to know what's the Havamina? If I'd only written it by Yavam, and not written it by what? By Ishto. So Rashi says, if I had only written by Yavam and I had written by Ishto, then you're going to end up with a case where she gets money for Ksuba and she's not going to rely on that Ksuba. And when she doesn't rely on that Ksuba, what? That's not good enough. Right? No, that's what Rashi says, that we would think because it has Kanye of a Kinyan Yelach, it could do something like this. Kamashwan, no, that what? That she's not gonna rely on this mouse and it doesn't work. Tosa says no, Rabbi Yehuda Nissen says no. The Havamina by Yabam was what the guy wants to do it to get out of the lien on the other property so he can transact, because he's blocked from transacting the other property. By a normal marriage, he's not blocked from transacting the other property. So what? When he's miyachet her, maybe it'll be okay because he's not trying to undermine the lien in that case.
Basically, what you said before, it's all a lot of the psychological of her comfort level. If she thinks he's doing it for like a bad motive or a selfish motive for it to sell the properties, so she's doing it. He's not doing it for my benefit.
Right.
So
I said yes to me, she may, but she looks
right. Right here, she's saying, look, he doesn't have to do it. Maybe he's really, he loves him so much, he wants to make sure that this is, you know, doesn't, even though financially, maybe it's not as good,
right,
as most mitzvahs does. I mean, in the habit.
Right. That's the habit, right? The conclusion of the Gemara is, Kamash Malon, that was, and no, that neither, in neither case can he be miyachet most, where he can't do it by his wife, and he can't do it by the yavam.
It really ties in also to that, you know, he wrote with the first husband, so he wrote her a tzuba, and he made a personal commitment. He undertook to do that. Now, Shemayim threw her to the yavam as a wife.
Right.
So there's no sophos das on her, because she knows that he never voluntarily undertook to, you know, to commit to providing for her.
Right.
And it was a push. So there's a greater reason for not to have something
suspicious. Yeah, by another Havamina. The Gemara doesn't mention that, but you say that could be another Havamina why the Gemara needed to bring it by his wife also. And the Gemara is Smash 1, it makes no difference. Okay, Garsha in Lux, Elux Subasa. He divorces her, she only gets her Ksuba. Hirsha in Lo Girsha Lo. Meaning that the only way she gets her Ksuba is if she gets divorced. Did she get divorced? No. Kamash Malon, Kit de Rabbi Abba. That's the conclusion of Rabbi Abba, that what? That the only way for him to get to the property is to divorce her. Meaning that he can't pay out her Ksuba prior to that and say, here's her Ksuba and I'll transact the other property. He has to divorce her, pay out her Ksuba, and then what? And then get control over the other property. That's with the eighth syllable of the Abba that we learned about yesterday. Hekzira, Yitka Kolen Hashim, Ve'inlai L'Ksubasa. When he returns her, what? She's like all the other women, and she only gets her Ksuba. Hekzira, Makamashima. What do you mean? Of course, she's just like a regular woman now, once she gets her back. Tanina, because we have a price. Magari Shadi, Yisho, Makzira, and Asksuba, Rishon, Makzira. So then, when a person returns his first wife, his original wife, it's relying on the original Ksuba, right? Ma'udatema, Yishuhu, Di'u, Kotavla, Ksuba, Minei. By that, we would have thought only when it comes to a woman that he originally wrote a ksuba for, so then when he divorces and brings her back, that's relying on that original ksuba. Right? So maybe over here, where he never wrote the ksuba, it was his brother that wrote the ksuba. When he divorces her and takes her back, to say that she gets her ksuba back, right, maybe we would rely on that original ksuba. So the Gemara says, the Garshavadra, Eim a ksuba, right, Minei, that his ksuba will be from him, not from the original Hasman, Kamash Falad, that it goes back to her original ksuba.
What happened financially? I mean, after he divorced her, between
they paid out her ksuba.
So how could she?
And then he remarries her.
So
right?
How could you rely on the first ksuba?
Why?
Because she came to him about, you know, she liked Alvin Ablatsiyam.
What do you mean? The ksuba is a good ksuba. That's the answer.
But he
re-obligates himself in that ksuba. But through that ksuba,
So this was all talking about using the same paper?
I don't know. The document, but
she has to give back the money?
What?
She has to give back the money?
No, she becomes his money through her marrying him, right?
So
she spent the money already. No, she doesn't have to give back the money.
That would be more talking about the money or the money that didn't go back. She's relying on the first money because it's all talking about the same document.
Right, well,
it's not relying on the first money. It was the thing she said.
But no, but now, Mina is where's our lien? I mean, the Nachmina here is not about the Tagdi, it's about who's where the lien is.
The lien is paid out already.
No, but if she goes, it goes back to her original ksuba, and the ksuba comes from the original ksuba of her first husband.
So you don't have to write it. No, but let's say not against the Yoba.
Yeah.
But it's a regular.
She doesn't have to write a new ksuba.
She doesn't have to write a new ksuba, right? So even if she received the money for ksuba, she sent it. Because again, so he's just being Shabbat. He's only getting
up. I mean, you can say that she goes back to original because it's not fit that the people bought the land. He paid it.
The Sheba starts anew now.
So all come out as a piece of paper. I mean, it's all thing of using two. It's not using the money. Right. So using the same paper.
Right. Okay. All right. It means relying on that original super. Basically, that's it. Right. All right.
I have to change the date on it.
What? No, you just have the divorce papers also, which show that they returned them, right?
Yeah.
All right, here, this is important, Gemara now. That's it. Amar Rav Yehuda Berishana, Yikotin Lupsula, Matayim Laman Amana. In the beginning, they used to write for Lupsula 200, and for Amana 100. Yom Askinin Vayanosin. The women remained bachelorettes and were refused to get married. Until Shimon and Shetach came along and said that all the husband's property is mortgaged to the ksuba. Okay, so what's the case? Let's see this progression here. Barishana, you quote in the betzula, matayim l'mana mana. Ksuba get 200, amana get 100. Biyomaskinim below you know sim nashim. They got old and the women would not get married. It's kinu shem and ikno tabu beit avia. So what did they do? They said, all right, she wasn't relying on that. Put the money by her father's house. Meaning that in her father with her father, so she knows that she's guaranteed to get her ksuba, that the selman aren't going to run
an escrow.
So they're guaranteed they won't run away. But dying, he already paid the money out.
Right.
He's out the money. Exactly, because he's already out the money. It's gone. It's like you put it in an escrow, it's as if he doesn't have any more. So he's like, all right, out of here. Right then, it's kinushim and ikonot abbeit chamia. So they changed it that she'll keep the money with her father in law, meaning in her house. She'll keep the money herself. Hey, how do they do this? As Shiro Tosototo Kilto Chokes, and this shows up, the rich, the wealthy women would make it into a basket of silver or gold, right? Anius, Hayosototo Abit, Shel, May, Reglaim. I just point out here, this is, looks like to be Rashi's gear service. The gear says that'll be a urine pot, but that doesn't seem like an exciting way to keep your ksuba. Tosos, on the other hand, says that it's Navit Shel Nechoshes, that they keep grapes in, which seems to make a lot more sense. That it was a copper bowl that they kept grapes in, because otherwise, I mean, I don't know why she would accept that Avit Shel may reclaim as a collateral for ksuba, but whatever. Whatever. So these are items that she kept in the house that would be reliant on ksuba. But dying, she placed alarm alarm clock. Ksuba take would see. He still, because these were already in her possession, things that she was using, he didn't have access to the money. Therefore, he would say, take a hike and take your bowl with you. You know, meaning that it was easy to divorce her. So what did Shema Achiba? What did they do? After dying, she placed alarm alarm clock. See, Achiba Shema Shefta fatigue you kote block call next sayach grind the ksuba top. So Shema Mishefta solved the problem by creating a general mortgage on all of his property. Why? Because then he did not have to pay out any of the property up front. And there the incentive exists. Why? Because he owns everything and he can transact and work and do anything he wants with all his money. As soon as he divorces her, he feels the pain of the deficit that he's going to have in paying out the ksuba. Right? What was happening in the past was that either, number one, he was divorcing without. So then they introduced the fact that there was a monetary penalty. Now, the monetary penalty only worked, right, when he felt there was a disincentive. He had to pay the monetary penalty up front, right, so that the woman was reliant. The problem was that the women, they established ksuba, and the women said, how do we know we're going to get paid out the ksuba? So then they established what the next two stages were, that she somehow would have the possession of the property. Once you did that, you undermine the original purpose of ksuba, which is to prevent this. So that's what Shimon Shetach's brilliance was, what? Create a general mortgage where what? There she feels reliant on it because she knows that all the property and real property are now mortgaged to her, so she has a way to get her ksuba. And then secondly is what? When he does divorce her, there's a pain in divorcing her because what, the money has not yet been paid out. That's what Rashi says. Well, you know some nashim. If you look in Rashi, well, you know some nashim. So yo, originally nashi lehem. The women did not want to get married to the men. Amro nikshiyumo siyigareish lo nimtzu the gavos klum, because they thought, what, when these guys die, we're not going to get our ksuba at all. So yorshim it's neil mo so yerusha, because the yorshim are going to go hide all the money. Right? She says, I don't have control over the money. They're going to go hide the money, and then I won't have anything to collect from. Interesting line in Tosus. If you go two, four, six lines on the bottom of the Tosfos, Kain Perish Rav. Says, Shall you know the law? Right? According to Tosfos, there was a stage where they gave her money. Alright, but the problem was what? There was a point where what? He needed the money, and then he was able to get the money, and he would borrow it from her, right? And then he'd pay her back. But once, so Tosa says the stages in the Gemara are different. Rashi says the stages in the Gemara were like this, that she had money, right? And when she wasn't reliant on the money because she thought the Yorsha would cover up the money. Now Tosa says, no, it's a difference. Why? It's a difference for him. Originally, when the money was in her possession, right, then he could borrow the money from her, and therefore he still had some advantage in the money being local to him. As soon as he put the money in Beis Avia, then she didn't have the ability to lend the money to him, because the money was nowhere near him. And therefore he lost the usage of the money, and therefore it was much easier for him to divorce at that point, because he didn't feel any loss. But if the money is proximate to him and with her, there's a point where he can, you know, if I'm in big trouble, I can borrow from her, I can get the money out of her. And therefore that was the stages of the problems. And therefore, so what was the next stage? The next stage was what? That give her a kli. So when you have a kli, so that kli would be helpful because now it's proximate again. And if he really needs money, they can lend it out to the neighbors and get money for it. They can rent it out, lend it out to the neighbors and get money for it. So then that money would be but it still wasn't disincentive because that money is so little, right? That rent is a tiny bit of rent. You lend out a couple, you know, bowls or like that. That's not the type of disincentive that he needs. He needs a real disincentive. And Tosfos learned the stages of the Gemara. Instead of Rashi, says the problem is whether she's reliant or she thinks the Yorshim are going to cover up the Tsuba, but rather what's his disincentive? Meaning that how much disincentive does he have? And through the stages. Right, so that's what Tosfos says, follows that way.